Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
And the week that you're hearing this, dear listener, is the week of my wedding. And the week we're recording it is not that.
Yeah, we are. If you heard an episode during Haas month where I was like, yeah, we're recording this early because I'm going to Puerto Rico on Friday. Guess what? This is also being recorded before I go to Puerto Rico on Friday.
Yes, we are 6 weeks out from my wedding, but we need to get these things done because if you didn't know, the week of the wedding, pretty busy. So we're going to get this in the hopper early. And as a special treat, we are talking about wrestling weddings. We have five of the, I'm going to put in air quotes, best wrestling weddings.
Iconic.
Yeah. Legendary, notable wrestling weddings. And to celebrate the occasion, I have brought on the co-host of my other podcast, Pop Capsule Podcast, the MC of my wedding, a member of my bridal party, Mallory. Hi, Mal.
Hey, everybody. Can I add questionable to the list of descriptors for these?
These are questionable.
Definitely, some of them are definitely not okay in the year of our Lord 2022.
No, No, they are not. Oh, yeah. So I figured it'd be great to have Mallory on because as an outside observer, Mallory, how much wrestling knowledge do you have?
So little. So
perfect.
Little. I apologize to your kind of hardcore listeners, but what I lack in knowledge, I make up for in boundless enthusiasm. So.
And Mallory is married. She's the only one of the three of us who is married. So she's got experience. She knows what
we're on three ends of the spectrum here.
That's true. Yeah. We are.
Yeah.
And I was the MC of Mallory's wedding. It was a lovely time.
Yeah.
And she's going to MC mine.
Yeah. It was lacking many of the things that these weddings had.
Yeah. No one burst out of a cake at either wedding, which is disappointing.
There wasn't a snake at your wedding?
There was not.
If there's a snake in my wedding, I'm going to lose it. Mallory is my co-host on the Pop Capsule Podcast. Mallory, tell people what we do over there on the Pop Capsule Pod.
On the Pop Capsule Podcast, we recap the top pop culture moments from 10 and 20 years ago. So this year, that means we're looking month by month at 2002 and 2012. By the time you are hearing this, we will have finished our summer of guests, but that's a lovely spot to jump into our podcast if you've never listened before, starting with our Guestapalooza episodes. Javier was kind enough to come on one to talk Batman and a few other things.
Yeah. If you want a really good entry point, wrestling fans, go listen to the episode with Javier because you'll be like, wow, familiar voices. This is so great and soothing. Plus, we talk about Raw 1000. We talk about F1 because Javier can never stop talking about F1.
Yeah, put and, that already in the check mark.
And the Dark Knight Rises.
I will say, in Guestapalooza, we have talked about wrestling a surprising amount.
Yeah, so. Other wrestling fans have shown up on the pod, which has been great.
Oh, man. We got to get people on this. Mallory's our first guest in 2.5 years.
And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that your first guest isn't someone, like, knowledgeable or useful in talking about wrestling.
It's going to be fun because it honestly having an outsider opinion on with these wrestling weddings, because Javi and I know them in the full context of the storylines and what has gone on and what happens after. We know the
whole
history.
I have no context.
Which is honestly even better. Before we get too deep into it, can do all the housekeeping things. Wherever you're listening, be sure to rate 5 stars. It helps the boys out tremendously. The merch table is open, fullpressshop.com. Cop the shirts, support the boys. You should go and tell your friends to listen to this podcast. Why? Because it's really good. Promise. It's really good. Yeah. You should go listen to it. And most importantly, follow us on Twitter at Crossbody of Work. That's all the housekeeping stuff. Wow. The first one we're going into, let's go right into it.
Okay.
The first one we're going into is the epitome of wrestling weddings. Javier, would you agree? It's like the standard bearer wrestling wedding.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's what you would want every wrestling wedding to be.
It's the one that everyone points to as like, it's the good one. That's the good one.
It's the wholesome one.
It is the wholesome one. And we're talking SummerSlam 1991, the wedding of Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. I'm going to give the context notes now.
Okay.
A little bit of context notes. Savage and Elizabeth were real life married in 1984, where she worked as his manager for a very long time. Yep, they've been married for a long time. This isn't a legitimate wedding ceremony.
No, I know that, but they were actually married?
They were legitimately married. They would sadly divorce in 1992, only a year after this
Because I was going to say, she looks miserable in this. I will let you continue, but she looks miserable.
Yeah, that answers one of my questions, because I was like, are they still married when this happened?
They are, kind of. For extra context in terms of storyline, Savage and Elizabeth, she was his manager. They split in 1989 because Macho Man thought that Hulk Hogan was making googly eyes at his girl, and their tag team known as the Mega Powers exploded. Savage became a bad guy. He became a heel. And only after losing a retirement match at WrestleMania 7 against the Ultimate Warrior did he and Elizabeth reunite, because he was getting beaten up by his new manager, Sensational Sherry.
I don't know if context helps.
No. But often on the show, I will set up the historical precedent of what we're watching. Mallory, give me your first initial thoughts on the wedding.
So I told Evan that the videos that didn't have the year in the name, I tried to guess what year, and I put 1985 for this one.
It's a little off. Six years early.
Yeah. I mean, I was going off of like her feathered hair and poofy sleeves. Her wedding dress, though, is not what this wedding is about. It is all about his outfit.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. It is. Javier, describe the outfits we got out there.
Well, Macho Man, I mean, realistically, this is just Macho Man's regular attire, but
this
white.
This is like a Tuesday for him, except it's really? In white. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the hat is a norm. The hat is a norm every single time.
The sunglasses, very normal.
The, like, tassels are also a norm.
Okay.
It's the sunglasses are a norm. It's essentially, like, I'm really not kidding when I say it's basically his regular, like, wrestling coming, like, what he wears coming out to the ring outfit. And then he usually just strips down into, you know, I guess he takes off his shirt and he's got, like, trunks on most of the time.
Yeah.
That's truly wild. One of the things that I was trying to figure out as the ceremony was going on, I was like, how are they going to kiss with that hat? I was like, she's going to have to like crane her neck. He ends up taking it off. And I was like, oh, okay. We thought of ahead. But
one special thing was that he's got the feather. Like the feather is not normally on the hat, but he killed a bird for today.
It was enormous.
He killed a big bird. Not big bird that we all know and love, but a
are
big
we sure?
bird. I hope not. So, you know, that's Savage's outfit. It's all white and gold. He looks all decked out. Let's do a little game called Rate the Wedding Dress. What do we give it out of 10? You can do point whatevers, but what do you give it out of 10?
That is a 2.4.
Wow. Whoa.
The wedding dress for Elizabeth is not a good one. It's just not good. It doesn't fit her very well, by the way.
Okay.
I just feel like it doesn't suit her. I don't know. I feel like it's very poofy and like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like, especially for her specifically, a more like lean dress with maybe like not as
you
much.
You wanted
poofy.
It to be a little bit more modern than it was in 91.
Yeah. Like if she had like a 2003 dress going for her, I think she would have been fine. But that sucker, that's not even like the 80s. We're dialing all the way back. Like I'm pretty sure Jackie O wore that one at her wedding.
Mal, what did you think? Give the wedding dress a rating.
I was going to give this like a 7, which I feel bad about now. I
give it an 8.1.
I was saying if she was wearing a modern dress next to him, it would look ridiculous.
It would look
ridiculous. No. Admittedly, I feel like anything next to him would look ridiculous.
That's true. Anything next to him would look ridiculous. This is the main event of SummerSlam. SummerSlam, a pay-per-view show, people spend their money to get beamed into their household, you know, and instead of ending with a...
Is this 91?
This is 91.
So that would have been like Warrior... Was that supposed to be Warrior and Hogan against Sergeant Slaughter and someone else?
Yes, like it was... Because it was the match made in heaven versus... And the match made in hell is what they called it. So there was the match that was the legitimate match made in hell, which I think was the Hogan match. And yeah, Ultimate Hogan, Warrior versus Slaughter, Adnan, and Mustafa, I think. And then
when Warrior like held up Vince McMahon for like way more money.
Yeah, and then they ended the show with a wedding. And the best part is, if you look at the crowd, everyone stayed.
Yeah.
everyone was like, I want to hang out here and watch this wedding between two wrestlers.
Well, this was a big thing. This was a big deal. When they got back together at WrestleMania, that was a big, big moment.
It's a very legitimately emotional moment when they reunite. Because Mallet, so again, more context, Miss Elizabeth is in the crowd, and she sees her man, who has just been forced to retire, get beaten up by his new manager after losing a match on a big stage, and she runs down in heels, very impressively, by the way, and like saves him, and they reunite for the first time, and it's beautiful.
Gotcha. I wrote down that she looks like a hostage in this wedding. Which, when you said how this is like a year before they divorced, I was like, that adds up, because she just looks like she's looking for a way out.
There are often like threads I see on Reddit of like people, it's like, what are your stories if you work weddings, if you're like a caterer or an officiant or whatever, and people are like, I can tell based on the body language of the couple if they're gonna make it. And so like you were doing the same thing with Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Was this wedding announced by the regular wedding announcer? Wedding announcers? Wrestling announcers?
Well, like, like the narrators in the background were, I'm pretty sure that was like Bobby Heenan and like
Gorilla?
Gorilla might have been there. Was Jesse Ventura? No, he couldn't have been.
I'm going to double check the SummerSlam 99. It did kind of sound like he was there. But
I just ask because the one announcer, I just wrote a note. It says, he loves his wife and mentions his own wife constantly. And I wrote down a quote from like the first 30 seconds of the video.
Yeah.
Where he says, I'm a happily married guy. I've got a beautiful wife. And if you mess up this wedding, I'm going to slap the shit out of you. You sit back and shut your mouth.
That might have been Gorilla.
I believe it. Yeah, it was Gorilla and Bobby on commentary.
And then later on, I think he says something like, Elizabeth walks out and he's like, I have a wife and this is the second most beautiful woman besides my wife. I was like, we get it, dude. You have
She's behind him with a gun to the head.
Yeah.
At one point, it had to have been Bobby Heenan. Savage was up on the little like platform thing in the ring, and Bobby just goes, look at Savage standing there on the gallows.
Yes, I heard that. That was pretty good. There's a lot of humor, and I'll say this as somebody who's getting married. I'm really lucky. Like, my friends don't make these jokes because they know I'm a legitimately happy person in terms of where I'm at. But so many older people will be like, oh, you know, signing your life away. I'm like, dude, I don't know who you got married to.
Yeah.
Like, you're having a miserable time.
Yeah. Two other commentator comments I loved. Well, one was the priest, actually. He said that they should enter marriage discreetly.
Which, there was a lot of adverbs.
Dressed like that. A lot of adverbs.
In front of this many people.
Here's my fringe.
On TV.
And then when they were finally married and they kissed, the one announcer just yelled, that's America.
I didn't even hear that. That's so on brand, though.
Yeah,
that's the most WWE.
And followed it up with, I wonder how many wet eyes there are all over the world, which is a weird way of saying that.
In terms of the actual ceremony itself, my favorite part is that Savage keeps his sunglasses on almost the whole time, but then only when asked if he wants to marry Elizabeth does he dramatically take them off and hit with a, oh yeah, oh yeah.
His voice
is the best.
So threw me off.
Do you know?
It's so, not too far off of that.
So you know where he's from because you have seen him in the first Spider-Man movie. He's Bonesaw, the one that Spider-Man is in the cage match with.
Oh.
He's got you for 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. Oh, Bonesaw's coming. Yeah. That's where you've seen him before.
Oh, no. I thought it was in one of my nightmares, honestly.
At one point, what is the name of the person that marries you?
The officiant or the justice of the peace.
Justice of the peace.
Yeah. So that dude, by the way, way too many adverbs.
Yeah.
But afterwards, when he's like, after they say the I do's and stuff, he's like having Savage, like, tell Savage to like repeat what he says. He's like talking about like with all my worldly goods and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like, did Bill Shakespeare write this? What's going on here?
He had him say, I plight thee my troth. And I was like, no one in this room knows what that means. No one in the world knows what that means.
Savage is like, I've heard of some of these words before.
I took a Shakespeare class in college, and I don't know what that means.
When they finally get, you know, pronounced man and wife. Balloons drop from the ceiling. Also, Savage's face when Elizabeth says that she will is great. Like, he was like not knowing what her answer was going to be. He's like, oh wow, I got it. It's great.
When the streamers go off,
streamers, it's amazing.
I just wrote here, Evan, I'm lighting pyro at your wedding.
The pyro budget for my wedding is not high enough. That's what I've learned.
Oh, listen, I'll up that mother for you, and you're getting the Cody Rhodes pyro.
Deal.
The one thing that confused me when they announced them was that they were Mr. and Mrs. Macho.
Great name.
They weren't Mr. and Mrs. Macho Man. They weren't Mr. and Mrs. Savage. They were Mr. and Mrs., which is like calling you and your wife Mr. and Mrs. Evan.
Yeah.
That feels incorrect. That would be
neat, though. Because we do go backstage, and there's well-wishers here. Bobby Heenan, who was on commentary, is shaking his head the whole time and like saying that Savage is a dead man, essentially. I'm like, dude, relax.
Yeah.
What do you think of the reception? How's it look?
It's got a real, Happy Days vibe to me.
It's very much like a home video my parents would have showed me from the 90s.
Yes, 100%. Yeah,
it's very on brand.
There's lattice. That's just, there's a lattice indoors for some reason. Yeah. That gets me.
We get clips of, you know, the receiving line. We get the first dance, which is just a lot of making out. Like, there's not a lot of dancing. It's just Savage being like, oh, yeah.
He tastes the kiss. He says the kiss tastes better with the champagne.
That's so gross. The grossest thing I heard watching these. So we'll take
there's
it.
There's the cake that gets cut, and immediately they just use their hands and eat the cake. I'd be so upset if I wanted a piece of that cake.
It's my least favorite wedding thing is like the smashing the cake into each other's faces. Like, my fiance and I were like, no, there's not. We're not doing that. There's no
way. I fully thought he was gonna destroy that into her face.
Seeing as this is coming out after your wedding, Evan, what's the flavor of the cake going to be?
Oh, it is lemon.
It's a lemon cake. God.
Yeah, with vanilla buttercream.
I'll be in line three times.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So will I. The rumor I hear is that at your wedding, you never eat, like, because there's so much going on. I'm like, I will Uber Eats myself if I have to. Like, okay, I will send out for Wendy's. If I have to.
Don't worry. I'll hoard a little bit of cake on the side for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Perfect. Then we get the big reveal, really, of the second part, which is from the gift line. Javi, what happens in the gift line?
So they're like opening gifts. Macho Man opens one up and it's a blender. Then there's like a massive.
So excited about a blender.
There's a massive like candle holder. Like, it looks like a freaking trophy that you win. Like,
it does.
I just won the Premier League. Let's go. You know? And then Elizabeth goes to open up a box, and there's a snake in there. So, and then almost immediately, the Undertaker shows up and wipes out Savage with an urn.
So when the snake came out, these two guys showed up, and of course, I don't know who they are. So I wrote, snake handled by sweaty man, black shirt, gold chain, defended by sweaty man, bad perm, red shirt with chair.
That would be Sid Vicious, yeah.
Okay. And so the Undertaker's the guy in the black shirt?
The Undertaker's the guy who looks like the emo cousin who was dragged to the wedding.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Yeah.
And it's just
the Undertaker's back, like, something straight out of like Black Sabbath, probably.
Yeah.
I loved all the cut shots back to the snake where it's just like doing its little cobra thing, sticking its tongue out, and everyone's...
Fun fact, the snake is real. Like, that was actually a snake that Jake the Snake Roberts like controlled. Like, it was his snake.
He has snake handles. Like, that's one of the things he does.
Oh, I
love that. Everyone needs a hobby.
He had like three of them, I think, too. I think there were like three Damians.
Oh my God. So, a wild time for the first wedding. Really wholesome right till the end.
Yeah.
Let's move to a less wholesome wedding.
Yeah. Arguably the least wholesome of the bunch, if we're being honest.
It is Raw, November 29th, 1999, and we are cordially invited to the nuptials of Stephanie McMahon and Andrew Test Martin. For context, Stephanie is legitimately Vince McMahon's daughter.
Okay.
She is storyline in love with Canadian Andrew Test Martin, who is R.I.P. a face. R.I.P. to Test. In real life, she is not dating anyone at the time, apparently. I put that in heavy quotation marks. And, you know, That's all the context you need for the beginning. What'd you think of the initial ceremony, Mal?
Well, I guess 2002, so I was much closer with the date.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, because she had that very, like, early 2000s wedding look. The, like, straight-across dress, the gelled back hair. I wrote she actually looked happy because I watched this one after the last one. I was like, she actually looks
Stephanie looks thrilled. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about her wedding situation in her real wedding moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little down the line here. The wedding dress. Give me the ratings.
I didn't like the thing on her hair, in her hair, like the...
Yeah.
It wasn't really a veil. It was more like a...
Like a little fascinator.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't like that, but the dress itself, I thought, was like a 6.3.
Yeah. I had it as a 6.1, so we're right in the same ballpark.
Yeah. The singers. That was a very long song.
Oh, my God.
In the middle of a ceremony.
It's so long.
Like, I thought they'd do, like, a verse and a chorus.
I have a note here. I hate the first part of wedding stuff. When it's just the official just dragging on about love and all this other bullshit. It's like, I just can't even imagine being the people actually getting married. It's like, could we just, like, you know, hurry this up or something?
Yeah.
Like, Love is Blind has it right. The guy says three things. He's like, we've come to prove, is love truly blind? And then they say, do you take them to be your wife? Yes. No? Oh, my God. You know? Why can't all weddings be like this?
What's the one from The Princess Bride? Two of brings us together.
Brings us together. So, yeah, there's this long-ass wedding song. Test is crying, by the way. Good selling by Test. He is committed to the bit.
Yeah.
I'm not a great make-myself-cry person. Mm. I don't think I'd be able to do that.
No. No, I don't think... Actually, yeah, I could. I 100% could.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably think of, like...
I cry at anything. So, like, yeah. Whatever. It's fine. We're going to have a great time. We're going to cry no matter what.
You almost cried outside of a pizzeria for your bachelor party.
I was just really overwhelmed with feelings. Okay? Now, should there be someone with just cause as to why these two shouldn't be married? Yada, yada, yada. Who shows up? Mallory, how would you describe this man?
Greasy.
That is current head of creative and legendary wrestler Triple H.
Yeah. I loved the leather jacket boutonniere combo.
It's incredible.
Big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the whole fit for good old Hunter Hearst Helmsley is amazing. Yeah.
Sorry, what's his full name?
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not his real name.
No.
But that's his character name.
His real name is Paul.
So upsetting.
And Triple H is there, and Vince McMahon had said no family or uninvited, like, you have to be family or an invited guest to show up at the wedding. Everyone else stay backstage. And Triple H is like, well, I have some very important video footage I think you'd want to see.
He really fumbled that line, though.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, Vince, you said that no one should family can't related friends.
Yeah, he was like a Vin Diesel soundboard.
Wedding. It was, yeah. he panicked.
So what does the video footage look like there, Javi?
Well, he's driving down the strip with the top down. He points out every adult video store on the strip. I swear to God.
There are many.
Yeah.
Which is like, for a second there, I was like, why are there so many? And then I realized, oh, this is 99. There's no Pornhub. Like, he finally pulls up to this like drive-through chapel or whatever that he could get married to. And he starts slowly driving through the tunnel of love.
Yeah.
And cracking jokes the whole way.
Well, first off, he looks at all of the different wedding packages and he was like, that's too much and too expensive. Ceremony only, $40.
Which, honestly, having paid for a wedding, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
Everyone should do that. That's incredible. The Little White Wedding Chapel is where we are. And legitimately, a lot of famous people have been married there. And I'm going to give you some names, okay?
Oh, God.
Bruce Willis and Demi Moore were married there. Judy Garland was married there. Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow were married there.
Oh.
Paul Brittany Newman was married there.
Am I right in saying that?
No, Brittany and Jason Allen Alexander were married there.
Who the fuck?
Christina Milian and The Dream were married there.
Oh, amazing. Iconic.
Tying back to wrestling, Stone Cold and Deborah were married there. Yeah.
Didn't they have a sign that said, like, Michael Jordan got married there or something?
Yeah, Michael Jordan did Joan get Collins. Married there. Not to each other. No. Joan Collins and Michael Jordan both married there separately. Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner have been married there since.
Nice.
That's where Bennifer got back together. That's where Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez did their elopement.
Well, then.
Yeah, so Triple H and Stephanie are in great company because Triple H is driving through with a passed out Stephanie McMahon in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
That the old lady who works at the drive through just absolutely kayfabes.
She is an accomplice.
Yeah, he was doing like ventriloquist anytime she had to say her part. It's like Triple H, yeah. And then Stephanie, I do.
Yeah, this is the this is the worst Jeff Dunham episode ever.
Yeah. And like, not that I wanted them to explain how he got her passed out in the car, but
it was her bachelorette party because the person holding the camera that we see eventually is the bartender from her bachelorette party the week before where she was in Vegas. And I guess he just like after the bachelorette party just takes her, which is again problematic. Is not even the beginning of how to describe this.
Yeah.
So they get married. They do the vows. The exchanges of I do's. He's like really rushing this lady through the whole spiel.
He's literally doing like rolling hands. Like let's get going.
They do the rings, whatever. That's when we find out that the bartender was the person who definitely did the whole ordeal with Stephanie. Triple H screams out, "God bless you too." And they drive away with the cans rattling in the background.
Back to the wedding that's happening between Stephanie and Test. Steph is acting her ass off. She is bawling.
Yeah. Triple H then revisits the like, "Well, you said no family could come, Dad."
Great line.
And then the absolute trashiest thing I've ever heard.
Yep. Yeah, I have it written down, too.
I know, Vince, as a member of the immediate family, while Steph is saying, "I hate you," very loudly in the background.
Yes.
"I know you have a question in mind. Not did we, but how many times did we consummate the marriage?"
Like, this is the first thing that finally gets Test to leave the ring to try to attack Triple H. He has watched someone take his drugged fiance through a drive-through wedding, and he just sat there being like, "This is good TV." Like, get your ass out there.
Like, this was a horrifying storyline.
Yes.
Maybe the thing that's more horrifying is that they clearly had to be in a room thinking of ideas, and this was the best one.
So here's how it gets worse.
Keep going.
So after all of this, a little bit down the line, so they continue the whole marriage thing, air quotes, until about December. Triple H has a match against Vince McMahon, the father.
Okay.
At the end of that match, Stephanie McMahon low blows her father to align with Triple H because apparently she loves him now, which led to them being like an on-screen like couple for like a year and a half, some change probably. And they did the shows together, they were on the road a lot together. Triple H had a real life girlfriend named Chyna, who was also a wrestler.
I know who that is.
Yes. And due to his many times with Steph, they started cheating together in real life.
That is the rumor. That is the rumor. We're gonna prep this thing.
Sure. It's pretty
The timeline is pretty fucking concrete.
And then he breaks things off with Chyna, gets with Steph, and now they are happily married with three daughters. So
yeah, married in 2003, have three daughters. Stephanie is now the co-CEO since Vince stepped down, and Triple H is in charge of creative, aka all of the storylines and who comes into the company.
So they are legitimately married in real life.
Yep.
Yes.
They've been happily married for 20 years.
Because of this?
This is the storyline that got them together, yes. Though the rumor is that they like kind of were like a fling or saw each other up before this, And then they got
I don't think it was before this. I think when they got paired off was when it led to them to.
I'm going to say conflicting reports then, because I've heard both.
This is the darkest timeline of How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, it is.
This is upsetting beyond.
You got to come up with a really, like, I know I have heard of people who met on dating apps or like Tinder, and they're like, we have to come up with a story for like.
Oh, do you want to hear mine with my girlfriend?
Yes.
We met at Brookline Booksmith, which is a bookstore here. Even though both our parents know that we met on Tinder.
I like it.
Sad
point.
Speaking of the darkest timelines, we're going to take a commercial. When we get back, probably the worst thing you'll hear all day. Back from the break, and our next wedding is not, it's a wedding, but it's not called a wedding. It is the commitment ceremony of Billy and Chuck. It is SmackDown September 12th, 2002. That is the timeline. Mallory, did you guess?
No, this was one of the ones that said it in the name. I probably would have put it in early 2000s, though.
I just watched Mallory flip her notebook over, and I was like, this woman just took so many notes.
She is prepared.
Oh my God.
She is a scholar.
Oh, geez.
Billy Gunn and Chuck Palumbo, here's a little bit of context, as much as I can give you. A storyline began after what was called the invasion angle, where WCW and ECW like came into WWE because they bought them out and won the war, you know? Where afterwards they kind of were both floating around, didn't have much to do, so they became a tag team, and Billy and Chuck became increasingly affectionate towards each other, showing evidence of a homosexual relationship. This is pulled directly from Wikipedia. The duo adopted matching red ring gear, bleached their hair, and Chuck began to wear pigtails, although Chuck would later cut his hair short due to the bleach affecting his hair negatively. Then they brought in Rico from Developmental to be their, quote, personal stylist.
Rico. Okay.
That's Rico.
Let's start with Rico.
Let's start with Rico.
What the fuck is that beard?
He's got like the Wolverine sideburns with no pizzazz.
Yeah, it's like a neck beard made of felt. Is what it looks like.
Oh my God.
And this whole thing, I wrote this down. This whole setup clearly is a straight man's idea of a gay wedding, because they have Rico come in and he going, fix that hair, fix that smile. Those are pansies. I wanted tulips. I wanted mahogany. Like no one.
No one thinks like that.
No.
I also want to just put down on the record that Rico was a champion on American Gladiators.
As Rico or as something else?
Before he was a wrestler.
Okay.
You mean to tell me that he wasn't Rico when he did that?
Also, guys, his real name is Rico.
That's not the part I have a problem with.
Rico Constantino.
Yeah, I mean, Rico was the name of Moises Arias in Hannah Montana, so it's okay.
That's true. I do appreciate when all of the plans are going wrong and he says, I have a headache the size of Long Island. While like rubbing his temples.
Javier, what do you think of this commitment ceremony?
Well, this might be the greatest thing that's ever been produced out of wrestling. If we're just being honest with ourselves.
If someone from wrestling who doesn't know wrestling one thing, I'm showing them this.
The only reason I did not show this to Kelly is because the video is 24 minutes long.
Oh yeah, we've got everything in here.
It's the only reason.
So Rico's mad, as Mallory has touched on. He's got the headache the size of Long Island. We have the oldest Justice of the Peace in history. He's talking like this.
Very well.
He is the Six Flags dancing guy with no energy.
Jesus Christ.
Also, this is where I realized that Rico has a zebra vest and bow tie because he is fashion.
Yeah.
We are in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I did not realize that the people of Minneapolis were this homophobic.
Minneapolis is brutal.
The entire time. Booing the entire time.
It is just outrageously
I will
loud.
Remind people that 2002, people sucked, okay? Everybody in 2002 sucked in terms of like actually supporting the LGBTQ community.
Yeah. Movies were solid, though.
Movies were solid, you know? That's good. But,
To underscore it being a straight man's idea of a gay wedding, when they announce them, what song do they come out to, Evan?
The wedding singers sing It's Raining Men, and she, the lead singer, has one of the weirdest vibratos I've ever heard in a voice. Yeah. It's like she's chopping herself in the throat.
Now, when they came out, I wrote this in all caps, because, again, hadn't seen them before, had no idea. They came out, and I just wrote, wait, they're old men, because I thought they were gray hair. I didn't realize it was, like, bleached. I was just like, this is an old guy wedding? And then they got into the ring and did their little, like, no, you go first. No, you go first. And I was like,
admittedly,
oh,
Billy's
no.
probably in his late 30s at this point.
The both holding the ropes for one another is maybe my favorite bit of this whole thing.
Yeah.
When they just keep being like, no, you go first. No, you go through. It's very nice.
It's very, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. That's all I got to say about this whole ordeal.
Yeah, that's exactly it. For context, Billy is 38 at the time of this wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought when they walked out, I was like, these are like 70-year-old men.
Jesus.
Getting married.
Justice of the Peace is dragging it the hell out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They've written their own vows. The Justice of the Peace.
It's a bad idea.
Notes.
It's a bad and idea.
And the people are absolutely murdering this thing with booze.
Yeah, they're trying to be nice to one another and, you know, profess their affection for one another. And Minneapolis is like, whoa!
Mind you, this is one of the highest rated segments in the history of this company.
Yes, in terms of actual viewers. Like, people tuned in for this.
I wrote down two lines from their vows. One is, now you're more than Mr. Ass. And the second was, together
while
we
looking at...
Yeah, together we captured titles, but now you've captured my heart.
That's cute. I'm putting up there. That's corny. Vows are meant to be corny. That's cute as hell.
Yeah, I like so the Mr. Ass thing. Billy Gunn, who's the obviously the one whose ass he was looking at. He used to go by Mr. Ass,
and his theme song started with "I'm an ass man."
Bomp bomp.
It was
his
great.
Whole thing is a train wreck.
I like 'em big.
It's a fucking bop, though. We get a video highlight reel. I like their matching headbands. It's very cute.
Yeah.
Chuck. Damn, that was corny.
Yeah, Chuck's mad.
So you could kind of see from the video. So they proposed at one of the tag team events. Did that actually happen?
Like a tag match? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at the end of a match, probably, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then we get to one of my favorite parts of any of these wedding ceremonies, which is there, if there is anyone, like, here's the thing, we're not saying this at my wedding. No, I don't want some debuting superstar, okay, I don't want some cool return, I don't want to get big booted in the face, all right? I don't want Haku to show up and eat me, all right? I want to get through the wedding scot-free.
Yeah, when the person asks that, I'm just going to stand up and be like this.
Just intimidating. You are my Omos.
Yeah.
The person who shows up, Mallory, how would you describe this gentleman?
Like, oh God, this is going to sound really rude. If Flava Flav and Sinbad were combined into a pimp character.
Yeah.
Cat Williams and How High.
Javier, who shows up?
It's the Godfather. The Godfather shows up, and he might have gotten a pop from the crowd that was louder than Stone Cold Steve Austin in his prime.
Like, oh my God, they're so excited to see him. They're like, someone's going to stop this wedding. And it's the Godfather plus the Ho Train, because that's what his lady escorts are called.
So I didn't realize until later on that it was called the Ho Train. So this little bit of announcing didn't make sense to me. When the one announcer said, the train is rolling into Minneapolis, and the other one just said, I love trains. I was like, that's a weird fact to share.
Maybe they're into Thomas the Train Engine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Put it together afterwards.
Godfather was like, what the hizzle is going on here? And because he's talking about how Chucky P liked the heftier ladies and why.
Yep.
And Billy, you've got some pimp in you. The cookies yeah. were giving us too much nookie yeah. in... I don't know what any of these words mean.
He said yeah. he loves Rico's fashion sense, but that won't stop him from stopping this ceremony.
And he also called Chuck a legendary skirt chaser.
Yes. I like the idea that he's like, I respect the drip, Rico, but I must intervene.
Rico is like livid. He yes. just goes, but refuses to say hose. He goes, he pauses for like 3 seconds and then goes, good time, girls.
Yeah, you're good time, girls.
I like when he's trying to wave them off and he just goes on delay and like flaps his hand at them. I'm like, oh no, what?
The ceremony rolls on. We can tell Rico is straight up coercing these boys into saying things.
Yeah. Billy says yes, but is kind of confused when saying so.
It's a hard word.
Yeah, and then Chuck is like pausing for a long time as Rico's like, say yes.
Yeah.
Say yes. He says yes, and then as the Justice of the Peace is saying, I now pronounce you, Chuck and Billy both immediately stop him and goes, it wasn't supposed to happen this way. It was a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Billy says that they're not gay. They have nothing against gay people. But yeah, that guy ain't pronouncing us nothing.
Yeah, that's that line. I was like, oh, no. No, no, no.
Just oversell. An oversell of the bit right there.
Rico says that he knew they'd back out. And then the Justice of the Peace starts talking. He says that their bond is sacred and it'll never change. It doesn't matter if it lasts 15 years, 16 months, or 3 minutes.
Mallory, what happens then?
He tears his face off.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear myself say 3 minutes?
So the Justice of the Peace is revealed to be Eric Bischoff, who is the general manager of the rival show Raw. SmackDown general manager Stephanie McMahon, who we saw getting, you know, happily married four years ago, is also out there as a witness. And once Eric Bischoff says 3 minutes, 3 minute warning arrives, which is a giant heavy tag team that's there to just like do his bidding.
Are those the Jersey guys?
The Jersey guys?
Like they're wearing like jerseys?
Yes, yes. Yeah. The big men that come out to attack everybody.
I had no idea where they came from or who they were or why they were there.
They are 3 minute warning.
They are Jamal and Rosie.
Okay. Yeah.
And they just fuck shit up. Rico kicks Billy. One of them is in an Eddie George jersey. Shout out to Eddie George for being
I think it was
good.
Rosie.
Yeah, good job, Rosie. They're destroying
Mallory.
Yeah.
Do you know who Roman Reigns is?
Not a chance.
Really? Okay. He's the current WWE champion. He's the Samoan man, very pretty. Kind of looks like Jason Momoa in a way.
Yeah.
Give this a Google.
Well, if you look at Rosie, who is the one that had the blue jersey on, that is his brother.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And
oh, yeah. All right.
So 3 minute warning destroys the place. Steph gets Samoan dropped, which was nuts. She gets rocked. And Minneapolis.
She gets absolutely destroyed.
Minneapolis is losing their mind, by the way.
Yeah. Jamal gets up to the top rope and he's about to go for a splash. And then the locker room empties out and runs away. Three minute warning.
Yeah. Edge, Rey Mysterio, John Cena all make the save. And Kurt Angle checks on Steph. This was also like the beginning of the brand split era, where SmackDown and Raw had their own shows with their own rosters, and they really bigged up like the competition between both. And so that was part of it.
I will say that the ending of this video, as someone who did not know who anybody was very confusing, because all of a sudden there were just a number of people in spandex. And I was like, where did you all come from? Why are you here?
That's most wrestling. Yeah. Because I'm sure you could have guessed that this is what happened. GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, they came out and said that they had consulted with WWE on the storyline and helped the angle secure mainstream media coverage, and then denounced them because they said WWE lied to us 2 months ago when they promised that Billy and Chuck would come out and wed on the air. So WWE apparently went to GLAAD and said, no, like we're going to have a gay couple as a tag team. And then they said, swerve, bro, and just didn't.
Gross. Yeah, this one, like, the last two that we've talked about felt particularly disgusting. like, yes, marrying a passed out person, and then the like gross fake, like
the queer fake out dating.
Yeah, it was, yeah, I felt really yucky watching those two.
Speaking of yucky things, we'll get more on that after this break.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break. Might, you know, go, if you're listening, go take a shower, come back, and we're gonna do two more weddings. Back from the break, we are at SmackDown July 18th, 2008. It's not actually the wedding ceremony, but it is the reception and kind of the hangout of Edge and Vicky Guerrero. Edge and Vicky, a devious heel duo. Vicky stole the SmackDown general manager job from somebody, Teddy Long, when he had a heart attack at his own wedding. Whoops. Edge is a Canadian bastard with excellent hair. They became a group called La Familia.
Familia.
Yeah. Am I missing anything on the Edge and Vicky backstory?
Oh, well, the Edge heads are there.
The guys, Vicky, who look like Edge.
Vicky is the legitimate ex-wife of Eddie Guerrero, who passed away, and she needed a job, so Vince McMahon gave her one.
And she became maybe one of the biggest, like, heat magnets, like one of the most annoying characters in all of wrestling.
So my understanding from briefly reading about her was that she was basically like setting up matches so that Edge would win the heavyweight title.
Yep.
He had her in his back pocket, basically the way.
Yeah. I feel very bad that this was my first impression, but the very first thing I wrote was she is significantly older than him.
Well, she is.
That was part of the whole
shit. Yeah. And like, not quite could be his mom, but like, it's close.
She's definitely like 15 years older than him, if I had to guess.
Edge with the elite white suit. Just getting that out of the way now. No, he's no Macho Man, but it's pretty good.
The hair is amazing.
The hair is incredible. Let's rate Vicky. What's the rate the dress?
Like a 4.
I don't hate it. I would give it a 5 just because I feel like it's like pretty common.
I had a 3.9. I thought it was way too boring, especially on the bottom.
I also feel like she is like a kind of like petite but built person.
Yeah.
And that dress like does nothing for that physique. It makes her look like squat and dumpy.
The other people,
she's not. She's a wrestler. She's not dumpy.
Oh, she does not wrestle.
Yeah, she's not a wrestler.
Oh.
No, Vicky Guerrero was literally just like a normal person. She was a wrestler's wife. She was just home doing her thing. Her husband had a heart attack.
What was she in the wheelchair for then? I thought that was like a wrestling injury.
That was a fake injury.
Yeah.
That they just kind of played up for the story.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also out there, you mentioned like La Familia. So we've got Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, aka the Edgeheads. We got Bam Neely. We got Chavo Guerrero, which is Vicky's nephew, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Like nephew-in-law. Yeah. Plus Alicia Fox, who is the wedding planner. Javi, do the Alicia Fox thing.
Alicia Fox.
There we go. That's because of a Scottish guy who became infatuated with her, Noam Dar. And the only way he could say her name was Alicia Fox.
Jesus.
Yeah. Alicia Fox is like a legitimate wrestler. Like, she was a wrestler. Yeah.
But this was how she was debuted, was the wedding planner of this wedding.
Now that's upsetting. I kind of thought she would already be like a character in her own.
Well, we did an episode on her, so clearly illustrious career.
Edge says he can't show Vicky how much he loves her physically right now, but he will later. So instead, we get a highlight package. And all I wrote when he said not now was, why not, coward?
This highlight package, he said that the people that made it, he's like, they haven't slept. I haven't let them slept to make this video. That video looks like trash.
Yeah, this is what like She-Hulk looks like. You know, like this is essentially the She-Hulk production. We haven't let them sleep, and this is what you get. You get something that I could have made on like.
You get a clip of these two on the seesaw.
Yeah, I could have made this on friggin' GarageBand or something.
Yeah,
iMovie.
I've used the word yucky several times. I wrote yucky several times in my notes for this one, mainly because this man cannot kiss.
Oh, man.
If they have the worst makeouts, like, it's like a middle school. Like,
yeah.
He was worse with Lita. It was way worse with Lita. Because they, like, open their mouths all the way, and it's just terrible.
Well, the, like, little clip of their proposal, you can, like, slowly see her tongue going. I'm like, oh, this, nope.
The spa day absolutely killed me.
Yeah. The whole, like, it's gross. Edge can't kiss. It's bad. It's all bad. Yeah.
And then Triple H comes out.
Before that, what the fuck is on Chavo's sleeves?
Anybody else notice this? That.
There is just all over his sleeves and like part of his, he like, it's like he had like chalk all over him.
Mallory doesn't even know which one Chavo is.
That's true. But it's all over him. So it's very disappointing. But then yes, Triple H loves interrupting weddings. This time he has the spinning WWE title belt and a wedding present.
I said, is that Triple H again with another video?
Man has videos.
I do like how he made reference to, like, I have a bit of a reputation at weddings.
Yeah. And all, yeah. He says, like, they're not happy to see him. And that's understandable because of that. Yeah. He says he's not, he can promise he's not secretly married to Vicky. Says that he has a video of his own to show. And then he shows up a video. And it's just Edge sitting in a room by himself, and I'm like, half the audience is very concerned about this video.
Yep. And then Alicia Fox shows up right after Edge pops a bunch of Tic Tacs, a telltale sign that you're about to do something shady.
It's like he pops like six of them. It's kind of concerning.
Yeah. And he hits on her based on her smell.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, he likes her perfume, all this stuff
that she's not wearing. She says that. She's like, I'm not wearing anything. And he continues to sniff her.
Says he wants to go over the scheduling because I guess the week is really hard or whatever.
Yeah.
And the menu. I guess they're having veal. Veal is gross. Just throwing that out there. It just doesn't taste right.
Edge is speaking like a Chad.
Edge is one step away from pulling out a guitar and playing Wonderwall. He is guy in the quad first year college right now.
My favorite part is when he, like, gets her to massage his back, and then you see it pan to him and Vicky in the ring, and he's like, you know I have a neck injury, babe. Like,
it's true.
Come on.
No, and legitimately, Edge has broken his neck before.
Yeah. And that's great, but...
But still, invite the wedding planner to come do physiotherapy on you?
Yeah.
Triple H goes, lots of guys bring women up to their rooms when their wives aren't there and get weird massages. It means nothing.
Yeah. Yucky.
Edge sends the boys after Triple H, where Triple H reveals his second wedding gift, which is a sledgehammer. It's one size fits all. Come and get some.
Yeah. I'd like that he wrapped it.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a gift.
Video comes back on, and now Edge is the one giving Alicia a massage.
A woman with no neck injury.
Yeah.
Yes.
The granny panties, where he does his whole thing about talking about buying lingerie, that he asked for it in Vicky's size. The woman's like, you could try Lane Bryant, which is like that line in Mean Girls where Regina's trying on a dress and the lady's like, you should try Sears. Like, how so rude. And then he just starts making fun of how big her underwear are.
Yeah. Rude.
And Triple H pulls out a pair. What does he say? Like, I could park my car under these or something like that.
It's a huge pair that he pulls out, by the way. It's like massive.
Yeah.
While watching this, I like paused it, turned to my girlfriend and asked, so like granny panties, what's like the deal with them?
What are you, starting a Seinfeld bit?
Like, why do women wear these? And she's like, oh, it's because they're very comfortable.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, but like, isn't regular underwear also like comfortable? And she's like, you just wouldn't understand.
You're right, we don't.
Yeah.
Edge takes off Alicia's glasses and goes for it. Goes for cheating on his soon-to-be wife. She does not want it at first.
everyone is hotter without glasses. If Correct. I've learned anything from movies in the early 2000s,
that's
it's
true.
At the moment you take off someone's glasses, 10.
Yeah, I saw Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah. Alicia gets really into it. Like, yes. really into it. And this is where we really, really figure out for sure that the common denominator in not knowing how to kiss is Edge.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, I don't even know how to describe it. He's
a grease
like,
ball?
No, it's like if I was trying to unscrew a jar, but I only had tentacles. Like, that's what his lips look like, touching another human God. Being. Just flapping around there.
They go back to the ring, and I want the photo of, like, the screen grab of when they pan back to Edge. I want that framed. It's it's perfect. He is like, if I stand perfectly still, maybe Vicky's eyesight is based on movement. Maybe she won't see me, and I will be safe.
And I have officially just gotten Evan his wedding present. Yeah. It is a framed photo of that.
You're gonna put it up right there.
Now, I had been watching this on 1.5 speed, so when she started screaming, I was like, that's very grating. It's probably because I'm playing it quickly. So I put it back to normal speed, and she is just shrieking.
Excuse me! She is a very shrill woman.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not so glad you got to experience that.
I'm not saying don't be upset, because this is obviously upsetting, but be upset in a regular octave.
So little another storyline thing that happens a little after this is that another video is played, not at this wedding. I believe it's at a different point in time, where it actually shows Vicky making the moves on the wrestler named The Big Show. And then she kisses him, and Edge sees it, and he's like, what the fuck?
And sorry, that was also before the wedding?
No, I believe this is after all of this. I believe this is maybe a few weeks or something.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox is also still in the ring when this is happening. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, just like has her hand over her eyes, just like.
If I can't see them, they can't see me.
Yeah, again, it's based on movement.
let's go to our last wedding and our most recent wedding by a lot.
Which is crazy.
It is Raw December 30th, 2019. So ending the year of 2019. And we have the nuptials of Bobby Lashley and Lana.
I guessed that this came out in 2005.
Jesus, wow. The quality of video was way too good for 2005.
When you said 2019, what?
Why did you think it was 2005?
The way they were dressed.
Yeah, but look at the video quality.
That's true. It's in 4K.
I guess.
New Year is a terrible time for a wedding. Throwing that out there. Think it's a weird thing. I guess everyone parties on New Year's, and New Year's is overrated anyways, but...
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. I could understand that one, because, like, kids aren't in school, so, you know, parents are probably more able to, like, travel and stuff. And
it's also really easy to remember your wedding anniversary.
And how many years you've
been together.
It's the last day. Lana left her... So, again, context. Lana left her husband, Rusev, for Bobby Lashley. We don't really know why. That was never fully explained. And now we're getting married. That's all the context I have for you here.
This was my favorite of the weddings. This is what I thought all of them would be.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Because this was just like, anytime someone new showed up, just immediately fight. And just like trashing the place. And this is what I thought all of the weddings were going to be like. So when I had watched that first one, I was like, they're at a reception? I was like, what is going on? When is someone going to fight somebody?
They made it.
Yeah.
So we have the Justice of the Peace. We have Bobby Lashley with a vest, no jacket, no shirt. Love the look. Power move.
No. Yeah. No sleeves, no shirt.
Still good service.
Rate the wedding dress of Lana.
Oh. Would I wear it? No. Do I think it's great? Yes.
Yes.
I give that like a solid 8.
Yeah, one. I'm giving it an 8 as well.
I gave it an 8.9. The only thing I didn't like was I thought her veil looked stupid.
I think she was wearing it wrong. It really did look like she was not wearing it correctly.
So we, of course, we get to the part of if there's anyone reason they can't be married, you know, speak now, you know, Taylor Swift shout out. And it's the first guy who shows up. Javier, who is this guy?
I don't know who it is specifically.
It's nobody. It's a fucking nobody.
But he just says he's Lana's first husband, that him and Lana got married the day she turned 18. And I was like, sir, you better have already also have been 18 or else we've got some serious grooming allegations about to show up here.
Okay, Dane Cook, we get it. You have a young wife.
And Lana just yells, oh my God, will you shut up and get out of here?
Now, she's got the full American accent going. For the longest, Lana had a Russian accent.
Yes.
Because her pairing with Rusev was that they were both Russian, like, people with who were very Russian and Putin and all that jazz.
Even though when his name was the Bulgarian Brute and he was from Bulgaria, and then they're like, let's move to Russia.
Right. They're like, America will not notice.
Yeah.
We're going to just slide it over the ride. No one's going to pay attention.
Right. CJ Perry is of, I believe, Latvian descent of some, or something like that.
Yeah, but then she also went to Florida State.
Yeah. There was a lot of sons of a bitches being thrown around. The phrase son of a bitches were thrown around a lot.
So Lana's first husband, who has no name other than that, says she left me for that son of a bitch Rusev, and she left that son of a bitch for this son of a bitch. And Bobby's like, that's enough, and chokeslams him.
I did write in all capitals, slam that man.
Slam him. This is where I realized that there's a gigantic cake in the ring, and I was like, that's conspicuous. Lana fixes the down flowers because her wedding that's on national TV has to be perfect.
Yeah, even though, you know, it's in the middle of a wrestling ring and has already been interrupted.
Yes. And your husband's not wearing a shirt.
Back to the does anybody object thing.
Yeah.
We get pretty deep into the silence before a woman objects to the wedding and says that she's Bobby Lashley's first wife. Evan, who is this?
It's a random lady.
No.
No, who is it?
Is that not Electra Lopez?
I couldn't tell you for the life of me, my friend.
Electra Lopez of NXT 2.0 fame now. She's a part of El Legado de Fantasma.
That's a fantastic name, I'll just say.
That is. Oh, yeah, it is her. Okay, sure.
It's Electra Lopez.
Yeah, man, I haven't watched that NXT in a while, so.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
Clearly. She's not very good, but I know she's a part of the group because I like the group because their leader is very good.
That's true. That's true. The leader is very good.
Says that she met Bobby in the military, and then before she could go any further, Lana slaps the ever-loving shit out of her.
And, like, over the...
Yeah,
like,
off the
rolls
apron.
Down the little catwalk thing.
I also love Lana's delivery of, are you freaking kidding me? She is pissed. Then we get our third objection. Who is this objection, Javier?
This is Liv Morgan.
A legitimate wrestler on the main roster at the time.
The current SmackDown Women's Champion.
Hopefully by the time this comes out.
Yeah, as of today, August 17th.
Yes. Liv, love the outfit, by the way. If I'm going to fuck up a wedding, that's my outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like a power suit, but not a suit. You know, it's great. The all black.
It's cut up in weird ways.
Yeah.
It's
like... I'm about to cut up this wedding in real ways.
The disrespect towards sleeves that is shown at this wedding.
Because wrestling
she's
hates
got
sleeves.
One, he's got none, hers are see-through. Like, it's...
Liv is here because she says the wedding has to stop. I'm sorry, this just can't go on. The love of my life is right there. Talks about how she wouldn't have made it through the year without her. Like, Liv is milking these lines.
Yeah, but yes. You can very clearly see where it's going.
Yeah, yes. She says she could never, she never knew she could be herself until they met and fell in love. How could you do this to me?
Bobby Lashley with a Keke Palmer, sorry to this man moment where he's like, I've never touched Liv before in my life. Sorry, I've
never
to this
touched
woman.
This woman in my entire life.
What a weird way to say that you don't know somebody.
I've
he
never
could
touched
just
them?
Say He could just say, I do not know who this is.
Well, that's the thing is he can't, though, saying, because she's a wrestler on the roster. Like, there's no way
she's been around before.
Yeah, there's no way he could say, like, I don't know this person. Also, when he says, I've never touched her, the pastor goes, come on! Like, like as if, bro, why? Why not?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about Bobby. I'm talking about Lana!
And my favorite part is that, like, I think a solid 10% of the audience caught on, and then 90% were like, whoa!
Which is crazy, because it was very clear.
From the very beginning.
Lana smacks Liv. They start brawling, which is, like, a wild reaction to have for someone.
Lana is crying, too, on cue.
Yeah, they start brawling. The officials come out from the back. They start pulling away Liv. As all this commotion is happening, we see the cake top burst open.
Well, no, hold on. They get Lana back to the altar, and they're going to do the speedy. He's like, man, yes, woman, yes, by the power vested. And by the time he starts saying by the power, the cake explodes. And who's in the cake, Javi?
It's Rusev.
Lana's ex-husband.
Good old Rusty.
Current actual real husband. Like, at the time, they were married.
Yep.
And remain married.
Yeah, remain married to this day.
Oh, that's nice.
Even though neither one of the two are with the WWE anymore.
No, Rusev is in the cake, and he has a little bow tie. I love that.
But again, no sleeves.
No sleeves. There's zero sleeves in the budget.
There was some sort of falling out with Big Sleeve as a sponsor right before this wedding.
The addendum.
Yeah, they're like, we gotta just rip them off.
There's frosting and cake everywhere. Liv shows back up again, starts brawling with Lana, forces Lana into the cake. Lana's crying. She's like completely distraught. Bobby's getting absolutely freaking launched everywhere. And then Rusev just kicks him straight in the jaw.
Bobby gets launched into the arbor, into the cake. Rusev has a really great moment where he turns and sees Lana and just yells, hello, Lana. It's awesome.
I just love that when my video ended, the only two people standing were Rusty and the
Liv?
Woman. Yeah, Liv, yeah.
Did you say Rusty?
Yeah.
Good old Rusev, Rusty. Yeah, that makes sense. My favorite thing is that none of this continues. It is like Lana and Bobby Lashley just don't get married again. They just get to continue being a couple. The fact that Liv and Lana are like in canon bisexual is never addressed again.
So none of this is ever spoken again.
Pretty much. They just drop it like a bad habit.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Liv thing definitely gets changed. Rusev just kind of like does nothing, like disappears for a little bit.
Gets over it.
Eventually gets released.
Lana also gets released.
Bobby eventually teams up with MVP after the Rumble.
Yeah.
When MVP debuts, and then that they become the Hurt Business, and that happens. So the Lana split occurs at some point there, like really quickly. Lana's lasts, like, she's around for another like year and some change before she's released.
Yeah,
right.
It's a weird time. They really just dropped it entirely. And again, like, it's been what, 17 years since Billy and Chuck, and they're like, hey, we're gonna introduce like new sexualities by into like kayfabe for characters, and then they're just like, okay, we did it. Now we're never going to address it ever again. But we definitely did it. You saw it. It happened.
It's just full on queer baiting.
It's like, weird because
we'll bring
they
it in
have
again. Never again.
It's just weird because they have actual queer competitors.
Yeah,
you know, like Sonya Deville is very openly a lesbian. Like, she could have been in the storyline, or like, you know, there's definitely other angles. Like, or just don't do it.
Strong queerbaiting angle with Sonya and her best friend Mandy, where they're like, she's in love with Mandy, we're gonna do something with this, and they would have like these weird long pauses in the ring together, and you're like, what's gonna happen? And then they just were like, that's just so you see it, and then they just never touched on it ever again.
Otis,
hey, Mandy and Otis never had a wedding, but they're my favorite couple. They're the best. Mallory, you know, as the non-wrestling viewer, what'd you think watching all these wrestling weddings? And what was your favorite one?
Well, yeah, definitely the Lana and Bobby was my favorite. because, like I said, that's what I thought all of these were going to be. When I pictured a wrestling wedding, it was a wedding with an enormous fight in it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, that first, the Macho Man Elizabeth one, just felt like I was watching someone's home movie for the longest time. And I was like, ah, that one's definitely my favorite. You really do kind of have to, I think, approach these like a soap opera.
100%.
Like, all of the characters, it just, these major events happen. Like, does wrestling do other things like plane crash or...
not in story, but there have been some plane crashes.
I'm trying to think. We've had wrestlers get hit by cars. We've had limos explode.
Oh, yeah.
We had
a Vince McMahon death that lasted 2 weeks.
We had the birth of the hand, which we've shown you before.
Yeah, this is very, like, All My Children, Days of Our Lives.
Oh, yeah.
And that these characters, even when these crazy things happen, like you said, just continue afterwards.
Well, I also love that they solve all their problems by they're like, let's go into a ring and wrestle. Like, there's no lawsuits. Yeah. It's just like, we're going to...
Yeah.
My favorite reasoning for a feud is still, I think it was it Edge Booker T, or was it the shampoo commercial?
The shampoo commercial. That was a match at WrestleMania, which is the biggest show they have every year.
Who booked a shampoo commercial?
Edge got booked in the Japanese shampoo commercial, and Booker T was mad.
There was the spilled coffee between Kurt Angle and Kane, I believe it was.
Yep, spilled coffee. That was a good one. And then there was ones like, you know, hey, you actually committed necrophilia, and I'm going to out you for it on national TV.
What?
Triple H.
Oh, we'll have you back on for Katie Vick one day.
Oh my God. It's a great time.
Sorry, it's Triple H again?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like that guy.
That's fair.
He is now the entirety of the creative team for the company. So,
there's a lot more dead people getting fucked.
No, because the reason he was in those gimmicks in the first place was because of his father-in-law.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Javier, what'd you think going and watching all these?
I love this. Any reason to go watch the Lana Bobby wedding was just something I needed. I watched that live when that occurred back in the end of 2019. I told you to watch it.
I turned on the TV.
Yeah, I had you watching it. This was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me at that moment.
I liked seeing them. It gives me a lot of like do's and don'ts for my own wedding, you know?
Sorry, you got do's from this?
Did I get to...
Yeah, get married.
Sleeves off my shirt, I think, is the do.
Yeah.
You know what's the worst thing about this is, aside from the Macho Man Elizabeth one, which is obviously the most wholesome one, clearly, the second most wholesome one is probably the Edge and Vicky one, in which Edge is cheating on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Because it's not the second. It's not Triple H and Steph.
No.
It's not Billy and Chuck.
It's not Billy and Chuck.
And then
it's definitely not Rusev or Lana and Bobby.
Yeah. It's... Though, actually, Lana and Bobby, at no point did they say anyone cheated. It's just a lot of heartbroken people.
When did the Liv relationship stop?
That's the thing too, is because she went from Rusev to Bobby immediately. So somewhere in there had to be Liv.
Yeah. There may have been a decent amount of overlap for all we know.
I have a lot of don'ts for my wedding. Nobody shows up with sledgehammers. Triple H is not invited. There is no video screen for you guys to show videos.
I don't need it. I'll figure it out.
He'll just do it. Just walking around with your phone. Check it out.
He'll do his through interpretive iPad. Dance.
No giant cakes for people to hide in. That's a good idea.
No objections.
I'm going to be pulling on the face of my officiant to make sure that there's no mask on. Is that your real face?
You're like, matter of fact, Javier, you're going to be the official.
Javi brings in a tag team to destroy my wedding. I can't wait.
Although, after how much we've made fun of Randy Savage's wedding outfit, Evan now has to go find something else to get married in.
Oh, yeah. No more bull. I'm going to have a nice big hat. Oh, yeah. With a little feather. When they ask me if I'm ready to, like, if I say I do, I'm going to say, Bonesaw is ready. Like I said, the week this comes out, all three of us will be hanging out at my wedding. My wedding will have been the day before this came out. So
yeah, so we'll all be in Canada.
In Canada, we'll all be hanging out, celebrating, and hopefully it will not be as dramatic as any of these.
So in Canada, you have to go, bone saws ready, eh?
Eh? Mallory, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being our first official guest on the official episodes, you know?
This was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the insanity.
That's all it is insanity.
That's
every
all
time.
It is.
Mallory, tell people where they can find our podcast.
Instagram and Twitter at Pop Capsule Pod, and on Facebook, Pop Capsule Podcast. You can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and just like you do for this one, if you do listen and you like it, give us a like, rate it, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Yes. Episodes come out on Thursdays for Throwback Thursday, since we're talking about things 10 and 20 years ago. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. Sauce me a follow if you'd like. I might be, you know, if you want to talk to me about wrestling weddings, I have great ideas.
I have great
If you want to talk to me about just your wedding, if you want me to plan your wedding, I will.
If you want I us will. To Dudley Boys at your wedding, we will put a guest through a table.
I need an unlimited budget if you're going to have me plan your wedding.
You can follow me on Twitter at @7gomes, @itsevangomes. Send me wedding congratulations. Do it. Do it. Send me nice things. Send me flowers. All right. Follow the podcast, most importantly, at Crossbody of Work. Mallory, you haven't even heard of this part yet. It's time for our favorite ending segment. It's Life Advice with Javier. Javier, any final words for the people?
Amazing.
This week on Life Advice with Javier, we're all going to be in Canada. We're all going to be at a wedding. We'll have a wedding wedding version of.
Well, this is good because it's from the guy who isn't married. This is awesome.
Yeah. As someone who has attended weddings but has not been married, guys, let's make sure that the outfit is good. Let's make sure that we've got a nice little suit going, all this stuff. But whatever you do, for the love of God, do not match anyone in the wedding party. Do not do it. Do not do it. But also, don't look like a servant. Don't do it. Don't look like a waiter.
I like that you went with servant first.
Don't look like a freaking waiter. I've had that happen where I believe it was my brother at my cousin's wedding. He like went in like a – he had a white shirt on, and then he had a a vest.
The black vest.
Yeah, with a tie.
Oh, no.
Someone from the other side, my cousin's husband's side, like asked him to like get him a drink or something.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yes. So don't dress like a waiter and don't match the wedding party.
Yeah.
Mallory, do you have any life advice for the people?
I mean, don't gift someone a snake or a sledgehammer. It doesn't seem to go over too well.
That's very true.
I will take those off my registry.
Right freaking now.
Also, do not drug someone and then marry them.
That's a big thing. That's a good universal don't, and that's a good final life lesson for this week. Mallory, thanks again for joining us and being part of it. It was a great time.
Thank you so much.
And
thank you so much, Mallory.
Thank you all for listening. We're back next week. Who are we covering next week? It's 6 weeks out. We'll figure it out. I think it's The Miz.
Yeah, we're doing The Miz.
If it's not The Miz, then don't be mad at us, but I'm pretty sure it's The Miz, so.
Yes!
Yeah. We're doing Mike Mizanin, baby.
Yeah. Things are going to get real. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.